Hello and welcome to Redefine, your home for news about parental school choice and education reform.
Ackerman, thanks a lot for taking some time out of your schedule to talk to us. I wanted to get right to the subject, which is
okay. You
came out not that long ago as being a strong supporter of expanded school choice options. And what I'm referring to, of course, is that amazing op-ed that you wrote for the Philadelphia Inquirer last fall. And this would have been a few months after you left the Philadelphia school system. He wrote, quote, "Meaningful education reform must be forced upon the system from outside." And then you then proceeded to say you now supported more charter schools and even vouchers. So to me, this was completely incredible because I don't know too many big city superintendents who have openly embraced expanded school choice options, especially vouchers. So what led you to make that declaration?
Well, I think it was after, first of all, let me thank you for inviting me to talk with you today, and it's certainly my pleasure to talk about a topic that's really important to me. But I had, I'm a career educator, 43 years. I've been a teacher, principal, so I've come up through the system, and, you know, my goal was helping all young people receive a quality education, and I've seen a lot, you know, in my 43 years, probably more than I want to see, that makes me sad. And I think over the time that I have worked, I always believe that the best way of improving, again, you know, access to quality education for children trapped in these low-performing schools was to implement needed reforms from within the system. But I don't believe that that's anymore going to be something that I see in my lifetime, because there are just too many powers that be, and I'm talking about now teachers' unions, other unions, politicians, consultants that have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo. And maintaining the status quo really fails young people. And it wasn't acceptable for me when I was working within the system. I felt that there should be this accelerated effort to improve this, the quality of education for young people, mm-hmm. but it didn't happen fast enough. And I actually believe that access to a quality education for these young people trapped in the underperforming schools is a new civil rights battle for our generation.
Well, tell me a little bit more about your evolution, you know, towards expanded school choice. Is this something that just happened over many years, where you started more and more thinking, hey, you know, we got to have some leverage from the outside, or was there ever an aha moment where you went, okay, come on, you know, this is not going to work, we're going to have to do something else?
Well, probably like a lot of traditional educators, I originally was not pro-charter schools. I saw them as a threat to the public school system. And so to answer your question sort of succinctly, I think it evolved over time, because 12 years ago, I certainly wasn't in this place. I really believe that the system, public school system, and the bureaucracy that surrounds many of the public school systems could right themselves with the right reforms. And if we could get everybody sort of working on the same page. And so over time, I think I saw myself beginning to see charter schools as an option a viable option for helping to accelerate this achievement for all children. But I can tell you that there were several, but I'm going to talk about one particular incident that happened that helped me understand that we are taking too much time, but it's going to cost young people and their families and communities if we don't accelerate progress. It was a few years ago when I first got into Philadelphia, and it was just after our first year of scores increasing again, and we had half of our children now scoring above the state level in reading and math. And I asked my staff if they'd go back and calculate how long it would take for us to get all of our children to proficiency in reading and math, meaning grade level. And they came back with a year that just startled me. And that was, they told me it would take until the year 21-23.
Wow.
And I think that's what I said. Wow, I can't believe that. But it put in me at that point a sense of urgency like I've never had. And I've always had a sense of urgency because I knew that young people only get one chance to get, you know, a great education. But when I heard that, you know, the 2123, the year 2123, it was totally unacceptable. And I could see this becoming, you know, these young people being caught in a, and their families and communities caught in a permanent underclass if we were not able to, I mean, really dramatically accelerate the achievement process. And so it became real to me that it's important to include as many options as possible for parents. So this is as much about a parental choice as it is about anything. What would I want for my children if my children were trapped in a school? What would I want? What options and alternatives would I want to have available to me? And then that the argument is no longer about the adults in the system are waiting for the bureaucracy of the public school system to change or to try to get the other adults to do what's right by other people's children. It became, this is bigger than all of us. This is about, you know, 100 years, young people waiting to get, and their families waiting to get a great education, or not even a great education, to be reading and doing math at a grade level.
Well,
not
just to make sure.
Accelerated.
Yes, ma'am. Well, just to make sure I got that year, I understand correctly what you're saying by that year. 2123 is the year that your staff said the kids in Philadelphia would be proficient in reading and math if you continued on the trend lines that you were seeing.
Right. All of the children. Not some of the children, but all of the children. Getting all of our children in Philadelphia to a grade level in reading and math would take until the year 2123.
Okay.
If we continue at the same progress. We were making progress. But it's not fast enough, and it's not acceptable for those young people who are caught in these underperforming schools because it impacts not only them and their families now, but it impacts the community as a whole, and finally a city, and then a nation in terms of what we're able to, you know, see when young people come out of the 12th grade, whether or not they have the skills needed to take their place in our democratic society.
So you feel like school choice options like charters and vouchers can make those trend lines steeper, can get us to where we need to be a heck of a lot sooner than 2123.
I absolutely think so. And I'm talking now about good charters. You know, I know that there are, you know, there are no, the charters are not a perfect solution and not a silver bullet. They're alternatives and options. They provide options and alternatives for parents whose children are trapped in schools where they're not getting a quality education. So I'm talking about good charter schools. I'm talking about letting, you know, young people into some of our best schools that are within the public school system. And when that's not available for them, then I'm talking about vouchers for low-income families. There just needs to be a variety of options for these families.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned before, you've worked in the system, or you worked in the system a long time, more than 40 years. Obviously, as a big city superintendent in several big cities, D.C. and San Francisco and Philadelphia, you tried lots of different things to move the needle for student achievement. So, knowing that, how much of a difference do you think more charters and more vouchers can make? I mean, you know, I guess there's a big debate about that. I mean, how, I know it's not a silver bullet and everybody says that, but how much leverage can you get from those things?
Well, you know, as I said, this is about giving parents real choices. And so it improves the life of one child, 100 children, 1,000 children. It makes their, you know, the quality of education they receive a better one, then it's worth it to me. I'm not saying move children from one underperforming traditional public school to a underperforming charter school. I am saying, though, give them an option for charter schools that are, you know, good charter schools, and they can get a great education. And, you know, if it changes the lives of one child, it's to me worth the effort, and it's certainly worth the focus, opening up the options for these families. So I don't look at the numbers. The other thing it will do, I think, will force the public school, traditional public school systems to change. It'll put pressure for real reform to take place, because there's competition. And, you know, let's face it, this country is built on competition, and it's good. I see that as a good thing.
Now, I want to switch back real quick to your op-ed in the Inquirer. You told me in an earlier conversation that before that thing went out and the whole world saw it, you emailed hundreds of your friends to give them a heads up that you were about to make this big declaration. What was the reaction you got from all the people you emailed?
Well, it's interesting, because I certainly got some positive feedback to say, you know, this is, anybody who knows you, this is a next, likely next step that you would come to this, because it's really always been about children for me. And, you know, the ideologies around, you know, the public debate is really not of interest to me. It is, what would I want for my children? Let's make sure that all children get access to what I would fight for my own children and my grandchildren. So I had some people who, you know, wrote me back and, you know, were supportive, not necessarily supportive of my decision, but certainly understanding why I was, you know, changing my direction in terms of how I was going to advocate for all children getting access to a quality education. There were some people who wrote me and called me and said, you know, I don't understand why you're doing this. You know, it's almost like you're a traitor. And I clearly, you know, had to explain to them why, this was a likely, you know, position for me to be, and that we needed to consider it if we think about this as being a children's issue, as a civil rights issue, and that whatever it takes to ensure that young people, all young people, get access to a great education, then we should put no barriers up. We should embrace charter schools, the idea that there are options for these young people.
Did you persuade them?
I don't know if I persuaded them, but I think that they certainly understand why I'm here. They said that. But I think the vast majority of people that I sent the email out to, there was just silence. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if they are thinking about it, or if they, you know,
maybe they were in shock.
Probably. I'm sure that was part of what that means. But I hope that the letter and the op-ed piece caused, you know, at least my friends and colleagues to think about, you know, deeply about this issue, and certainly to get them to question, you know, me, having them question me, I have no problem, you know, certainly providing my rationale, but I hope that it provided an opportunity for people that I know and respect to think about, you know, why would somebody like me, who spent so many years within the traditional public school systems fighting for radical change, you know, embrace charters and vouchers for low-income families. And certainly, if they can't support them, I hope they understand why I did.
Well, that dovetails into one last question I have, which is,
sure.
Do you think other big city superintendents out there are having these internal debates with themselves about more openly embracing school choice? And do you think some of them are going so far as to consider embracing vouchers?
I think vouchers is a big leap, and I'm really specific. I'm not for universal vouchers. I'm for vouchers for low-income families, and I think that has a way to go. I think that charters are becoming more and more an accepted avenue, you know, for looking at how to accelerate achievement in low-performing schools and giving parents options. I think that, you know, more and more of my colleagues or former colleagues are thinking about this. I can't say where they are, you know, because I don't know all of the big city superintendents, but it certainly has been a discussion, and you know, that I've had with my colleagues, and I think you see that happening in some of the big cities around the country: LA, Chicago, New York, DC, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You see more and more of these leaders embracing charter schools as a way of reforming the school system. You know, I haven't given up, I want to say, on public schools. They work for me and my family, my children, and now my grandchildren are in public schools. But I do realize that it takes skillful intervention and negotiations from knowledgeable parents and guardians to make sure that, you know, our children get a great education. And that shouldn't be. It should be that the families should be able to know that it's not about their zip code, it's not about their economic status or their educational background that will determine whether or not their child will get a great public school education. So my job now is to focus on, you know, supporting parental choice and doing what I can to continue to work with my colleagues and who are still in traditional public schools as they try to certainly put in reforms, needed reforms that will accelerate achievement for all children.
Okay. Well, Dr. Ackerman,
thanks
so much. I really appreciate you taking
all
this time out for me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.